Good to see everyone out this Lord's Day morning. We've concluded a gospel meeting this past week and have been built up in the most holy faith as the word has been preached to us, delivered to us this past week. And now we have another opportunity this Lord's Day to assemble and worship Him. Grateful for the presence of each and every one, especially those who are visiting with us. We're grateful that you've come our way. I hope that you'll come back and be with us again the next time that you have opportunity to do so. This afternoon in our 3 o'clock service, I want us to spend some time looking in the scriptures at the subject of heaven. I want us to look at it in specifically as being the home of the soul. There's a song about heaven called Home of the Soul. And that's what I want us to talk about for a few moments this afternoon. But this morning, I would encourage you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 10. And I want us to consider some lessons that we need to learn from two sisters, Martha and Mary. Let's read as we begin, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha and her sister Mary lived with their brother Lazarus in the small village of Bethany. Bethany was located on the Mount of Olives, actually on the side of the mount away from Jerusalem. It was located just 2 miles southeast of the city of Jerusalem. On the last week of our Lord's life, he spent every night in Bethany, no doubt at the house of these friends. It appears that these three siblings were dear friends with the Lord. John chapter 11 and verse 5 says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. No doubt he was a familiar guest in their home on different occasions. But the scriptures really only mention 3 times that Jesus was with these two sisters. And by that I mean specifically mentions Jesus being with Martha and Mary. One time is recorded in John chapter 11 when Jesus rose their brother Lazarus from the dead. Another time is found in the next chapter, John chapter 12, along with Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus in the home of Simon the leper. And then the third occasion is the one that we just read and that we're going to study from this morning, where Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, understanding that it is their home, that is the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and takes care of him and his guest on that occasion. In the text that is before us, we're going to note a sharp contrast between these two sisters. It's not uncommon for siblings to have some things in common, but then to have some differences among themselves. And the differences between Martha and Mary are shown very clearly here in this passage. We're going to go through it, spend a few moments in it, and as we do, we're going to learn some important lessons for ourselves today. We're going to learn about the importance of making the right kind of decisions in the moments that we have. We're going to learn about pride and the danger of pride, and we're going to learn about priorities as well. This passage teaches us good lessons in all of these areas. Let's start off looking at Martha. 3 things I want us to consider about Martha. Number one, I want to consider her problem, because she has a problem here. As a matter of fact, she brings the problem to the Lord's attention. Verse 40 says that Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted on this occasion because she was devoting herself to serving, and not just a little serving, but to much serving. in the passage, we read that Martha is the one who invites Jesus and her and his companions to come into her home. In this, she is taking on a role that the customs of her culture would have expected her to fill. She was the one who welcomed Jesus into her home, and she thus was obligated to care for him and to care for those who were with him. The fact that she is distracted with much serving tells us that not only is she preparing food for them, but she's preparing a great meal for them. And this would, again, have been the custom in Israel in the first century. She didn't invite them in and make them some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The custom of that day for a feast was to have a three-course meal. And all of these meals were prepared very carefully. They likely would have been served on trays that would have been decorated as well as filled with food. And then following the three courses, there would have been a dessert. A dessert that historians tell us could have consisted of fruit or pastry or both. A lot of work went into preparing and serving this meal on this occasion. So she has a problem. She's taken a lot of work on herself. And the text says that she is distracted with much serving. Now, there was nothing wrong with Martha preparing this food. Obviously, there was nothing wrong with her serving this food on this occasion. But when she brings her request unto Jesus, Jesus says that she is worried and troubled about many things in verse 41. She's not just busy serving, but Jesus, who knows the heart, knows that she's worried. Knows that she's troubled over this. She is fretting over the details. That's one way we could put it, right? She's fretting over the details, or to put it another way, to put a spin on a statement some people make, she is sweating the small stuff. She cares about her serving. So much so that she's worried and she's troubled over these things, and she's distracted with these things going on. No doubt she hears what's happening in the house. No doubt she hears the teaching that the Lord is doing, but her mind is focused on what she's doing to the point that she's distracted by it. She's worried, and she's troubled over these things. Well, if Martha was a good friend of the Lord, and no doubt she was, she'd heard his preaching and teaching on the subject of worry before. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we are not to be worried over the physical things of this life. That's what Jesus would have his disciples to do, to live a life that is free from worry and trouble and distraction over the physical things of this world. We're not going to take the time to read the entire text, but look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink." Those were the very things that Martha was worried about. Those are the things she was troubled about. That's what she was distracted about on this occasion in Luke 10, right? What to eat and what to drink. Jesus says, don't worry about those things, or your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There's more to life than just what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. Martha, no doubt, had heard this from the Lord, but on this occasion, she forgot it. She forgot it. That teaching disappeared in light of what she was focusing upon, serving her guest. Jesus continues in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" We're not to worry about our life because God cares about us. God cares about us. God values us enough that he takes care of us. In verse 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" We're more important to God than the whole creation that he has made. And God takes care of that, doesn't he? In the spring, God clothes all the trees and all the fields with the vegetation. And this time of the year, it goes away. Just this morning, I was looking out out behind the parking lot, and one of the big trees out there that's turned a color other than green, the leaves were falling off of it like water this morning. It's coming off of it like it was rain. every year after the flood, as he promised Noah. But God takes care of those things, and we can trust God to take care of us and to help us. In verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The people without God in their life worry about these things. You have God in your life. Don't worry about these things. Don't be troubled over these things. So the Lord would have us to live a life that's free from these kinds of problems that Martha has. He would have us to live a life that is free from worry over what we eat and what we drink and the physical things of life. But notice the key component that causes us, or enables us rather, to be worry-free. And that's here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, when he says, O you of little faith. We have to have faith. We have to have faith to believe in a God who takes care of us. And if we have that faith, that strong faith, we won't suffer the problem that Martha is suffering on this occasion. Doesn't mean things won't happen in our life. Doesn't mean we won't take on responsibilities that overwhelm us at times. But we have to have faith that God is there for us and God will help us through those things. That was part of Martha's problem, but another part of her problem is revealed in what she says to the Lord, and that's her pride. Her pride. Look at what she says to the Lord. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha began, she addresses the Lord and says, Lord, do you not care? And think about that. What kind of a question that is. What a question to ask the Lord. Don't you care? This was the same thing that the disciples asked Jesus on the night that they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm arose and began to beat into the boat, and Jesus was asleep, and they went and woke him up, said, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Don't you care? Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, in his death on the cross, his voluntary death on the cross, answered this question once and for all. Yes, Jesus cares. There's no doubt that he cares. But here's Martha. Don't you care about me? Lord, don't you care about me? You look at the rest of what she says here. I've underlined the personal pronouns. How often she's talking about herself. My sister has left me. Tell her to help me. Here, Martha, she gets fed up with this. She sees her sister sitting there, ignoring Martha, sitting there focused on Jesus, and no doubt she had enough of it and went and decided that she was going to ridicule her sister in front of the Lord and in front of the companions. Whether that was her intention or not, that's what she did. She ridiculed her sister. Look, she's not helping me. Tell her to help me. But in doing this, it never occurred to Martha that she could have been the one who was actually in the wrong. And in fact, she was. She was the one who was wrong on this occasion. And that's what pride does to us. Pride elevates us. It inflates our ego, and it elevates us to a point that our problems are the only problems that matter. We are the only ones who are suffering. We are the only ones who are inconvenienced. And not only that, but it also distorts our vision so that we can focus on the inadequacies in others. And we can see the faults of others very well, but we somehow are blinded to our own. And we fail to see our own shortcomings. And that's what pride does to us. Pride distorts our vision and our focus. Martha was busy with her serving. She was busying herself serving others, and that was a good work, but the reality is she was really focused on herself. Me, me, my. And that was pride. This is an ugly episode in the life of an otherwise faithful and righteous woman. But that's exactly what pride does. Pride brings out the worst in us. Men and women of faith are going to continue to be tempted by pride. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says that that's one of the avenues through which the world tempts us and through which Satan tempts us. Remember? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You deserve better than this, Martha. Why isn't she in here helping you? You're having to do all this by yourself. She really needs to get on the ball. She needs to be told her place. Go in there and tell the Lord to tell her to help you. That was the temptation. And she followed through on it. And what a terrible episode in the life of an otherwise faithful person. We dare not let our guard down regarding pride, because pride will bring out the worst in us as well. The third thing I want to consider about Martha was her priorities. You see, when Jesus came into this house, both Martha and Mary had a choice regarding how they were going to spend the time with Jesus in their home. How's that time going to be spent? Well, Martha tells Jesus, tell her to help me. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to, because Mary has chosen that good part. Mary made a different choice than Martha did. And Jesus says, on this occasion, Mary chose the good part. Mary made the right decision. Martha had chosen to give her attention to serving her guest. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him teaching. As we said at the beginning of this study, of this sermon, Jesus is mentioned as being in the presence of these two women three different times. Three different times. You know what's interesting? An interesting observation to make about Mary is that in all three occasions, she's in the same place. She's at the Lord's feet. You see, on this occasion, she's sitting at his feet, worshiping him. That is, she is sitting and she is giving her attention to Jesus and she is focusing upon his words. On the second occasion, in John chapter 11, she comes to Jesus after the death of her brother Lazarus and falls down at his feet and says, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she pours out her heart in sorrow to Jesus at his feet. And on the third occasion, in John chapter 12, she is the woman who went and broke the alabaster flask of spikenard oil and poured it on his feet and wiped it with her hair and prepared his body for burial beforehand. See, I think perhaps Mary understood some things about what Jesus was doing and was going to do even better than his disciples did. All three times, where do we find Mary? At the Lord's feet. At the Lord's feet, the place where every disciple ought to be. Jesus refused to tell Mary to help Martha because in that situation, Mary had made the right choice. Mary was not being lazy. She was not being neglectful. She understood the true importance of that hour and that opportunity. She had her priorities straight. She valued the spiritual over the physical. You see, the Bible tells us as disciples, as Christians, that our faith is to be trained by the Word of God to the point that we can discern between good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer rebukes his readers because they'd been delivered the Word of God. They'd been given the gospel. They'd had access to the Word of God long enough that they should have been spending enough time in it that they should have trained themselves to be teachers and to know the difference between right and wrong. And they didn't. Look in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You expect someone who's converted to Christianity, you expect a new convert, over time, to read and study the Word of God and get to the point where they can choose between right and wrong, and they can make the right choice. But even more than that, what Mary shows us in this account is she had the ability not just to distinguish between right and wrong, but she had the ability to distinguish and discern between degrees of what is right and degrees of what is wrong. You see, choice on this occasion would have been for her to take advantage of the opportunity to sit and to hear the Word of God. Jesus says, one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. That tells us that spiritual things must be our priority. If we're disciples of Christ, if we're children of God, that's where our priority must lie. It must lie with spiritual things. In studying Luke chapter 10, I read from the commentary of Brother James Burton Kaufman, who is identified with Institutional Brethren. He's written a set of commentaries on the entire Bible, and I found this comment that he made, and I wanted to share it with you. He says, whatever the duties of men, whether real or imagined, whether less or greater, the one great obligation of all who were ever born is that they shall heed the word of the Son of God. Much of the failure of modern Christianity lies in the fact that Christians are busy with all kinds of things, many of them important and necessary, of course, but yet they have no time for the word of the Lord. Christians aren't always distracted by worldly and sinful activities. We simply get busy and become distracted with the responsibilities and the challenges of everyday life, and we leave little or no time for the things that really matter, for the one thing that is needed. We cast spiritual duties and obligations aside and spend our time entirely upon those things that are physical. Now, that was the choice that Martha and Mary had on that occasion. Martha chose to continue to pursue serving spiritual, physical things, and Mary realized, I'm not always going to have the opportunity to sit at his feet and listen to him teach, and that's what I'm going to do now. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part. Let's consider for just a moment what Mary received as a result of that. Martha gave the Lord her service, and there's nothing wrong with that. But on this occasion, Mary gave the Lord her attention. And that's what the Lord wanted. That's what the Lord honored. You know, we can give the Lord our service. We can come to all the services of the church. We can go about our lives, and when we see that we need to do good, we can stop and do good, and we can help others out along the way. And all the while, have our hearts and our minds and our attention so far removed from God that the light has gone off in our heart. We need to make that right choice, to give our hearts and to give our lives unto the Lord. This passage helps us to understand that worship is to take priority over service. And I tell you, I know some brethren who would take real issue with this point. And they can take issue with it all they want to. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here in Luke chapter 10. Martha, Martha, you're distracted and you're troubled over all these things. You're worried. You're distracted with much serving. One thing is needed. Mary's chosen that good part. She's chosen to give me her attention and listen to the things that I have to say. Brethren, listen to me. We need to be very careful of the things that we allow to take us away from our worship and our devotion to God. that in her home that night, they would need rest again the next night. But the bread of life that was given by Jesus on that occasion provided a spiritual blessing that would never pass away. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, John 6 verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Mary's chosen the good part. It won't be taken away from her. She'll never hunger. She'll never thirst. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter quotes from the prophet Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That's the good part. That's the part that will not be taken away. The things that we, and when we devote our time and ourselves and give our attention to God in pursuit of spiritual things, that will not be taken away. You see, Martha tried to shame her brother, or her sister rather, her sister Mary on this occasion. Whether that was intentional or not, that certainly could have resulted from what she said to the Lord. But the Lord came to her defense very quickly. He said, no, I'll not tell her to go. She's chosen the good part. Jesus gave a mild rebuke to Martha. I want you to notice on this occasion what it was that was rebuked. He didn't criticize her desire to serve and to care for her guest. What Jesus rebuked Martha for was her anxiety. Remember, she was worried and troubled over many things. He rebuked her pride, and he rebuked her misplaced priorities. Now, which one of us here hasn't been in need of a rebuke in one or all of those areas at some time in our lives, at some time in our service unto God? Well, there's a lot of us here that can sympathize with Martha, and that perhaps men and women alike that can find ourselves in the place of Martha here on this account. But Mary was found at Jesus' feet, listening to the Word of God. And according to Jesus, she had chosen the good part. She had chosen the one thing that was needed. She had chosen that which was not going to be taken away. All I ask you this morning, as we bring this study to a close, is which one are you? Which one am I? Martha or Mary? How about the things that trouble us and worry us in our life? How about our pride and the way that we look at ourselves in relation to the way that we look at one another? How about our priorities? You know, our priorities, our misplaced priorities, have a way of telling on us. They have a way of exposing themselves. What are my priorities? Am I like Martha or am I like Mary? If I find that I need to make correction in my life, then I need to do it. I need to make that correction. And if you find you need to make correction in your life, you need to do it as well. The invitation is an opportunity for those who have been touched by the Word of God and have been stirred by the Word of God to make things right in their life to do so. Maybe you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, and you realize that the Lord loves you enough to die for you. And the only natural way for you to respond to that is in obedience, in faith and in obedience. And you're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to confess your faith. And you're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Then now would be a perfect opportunity for you to do that. If you're here and you've done that, but you become unfaithful, you become distracted, you've been filled with pride, your priorities are not what they should be, and you need to make that right in the public way, the invitation is for you as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this.